This morning I want to begin by reading or telling really a story. A story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 13. The story went like this. It started like this. The day Jesus was out of the house, and he sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him. So he got into a boat, and he sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds that fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, but the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another, 60, and in another, 30. So we're in week four of I Need a Breakthrough. We're going to be looking at that passage of Scripture we just read. The last 3 weeks, we kind of were in like a series, if you will, within a series. We talked about breakthrough in kind of all areas of life, that God has more for us, and that there are things we probably need to do, including forgetting some stuff, as well as pressing on to actually go through on those things. Those could be in any area of our life, from our finances to our family, to our spiritual life, to our character, all sorts of parts of our life. Today, we specifically are going to look at spiritual breakthrough. What does it look like in my life to grow deeper in my understanding and my relationship with Christ? What does spiritual breakthrough look like? How do we achieve it? How do we move forward in our spiritual life? What might be some tips? And here's going to be the question for the entire message. Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? Let me illustrate that concept. And it might become quite apparent to you what I mean. I'll just show you a couple pictures. So, for instance, this first one, when you see this, what do you immediately think? Some of you think, that's the sweetest thing I've ever seen. In fact, I might have to go buy one. Or I have one at home, and I need to go for a ride today. In fact, why am I sitting in church when I could be riding that somewhere, right? Like, some of us go there because we love motorcycles. Some of us think, yeah, I don't even really care. Right? Some of you are drawn into that image. Some of you are completely indifferent. Maybe for you, this one might hit a chord. Some of you are drawn in by that. You see some cute little cats and you think, I need to get one. Or my cat needs to have a whole bunch so I can have 20. Right? Some of you, the normal people, are indifferent to that image. I'm just kidding, okay? I have a cat too. My cat's also kind of weird. But some of us are drawn in by that image. What about this one? Anyone with kids, right? Are you drawn in by that, or are you completely offended and tired of singing Frozen songs? I don't know. But some of you who don't have kids or grandkids or have never seen the movie, you're probably pretty indifferent. Yeah, so what? Or maybe this one. I bet most of you, if you're over the age of 30, are mostly indifferent, right? But if you're under or you have teenage children, you might be a little drawn into this. Some of you are thinking, why would I waste my time building fictionary blocks of buildings when I could go build an actual building, right? Or maybe this one, the one that draws everyone in, because it's fantastic, right? Like, I see that image, and I think, I want to go golfing, like right now. You guys can preach the rest of the sermon, and I'll go find a golf course. Like, I love golf. I didn't always love golf, but I'm drawn in by it. So I see that, and I think, I want to go golfing. Some of you can't stand golf or don't like sports in general, and so that does nothing for you. Completely indifferent. Are you drawn in or are you indifferent? We feel those feelings towards lots of different things in life. And most of those have been built up in us. Like I just said, I never used to like golf when I was growing up in high school. I had nothing to do with it. But then I started playing and then I started being drawn in. So now every time I see a picture like that, I love it. I want to go. I don't go very often anymore, but I used to and it was fun. But I built up this ability to be drawn in by that image. You probably have the same thing in your life. So here might be the key for today. I think for us to have an impact on our spiritual life, to break through spiritually, we have to get to a place where we are drawn in by the person of Jesus and by the love of our Heavenly Father. Not by being at church, not by doing the right things, not by being involved in a certain group. Those could be good things. But if we want to break through spiritually, we have to want to be drawn into the person of Jesus, into the love of our Heavenly Father. All those other things can help with that. But we have to want to be drawn in. We have to lose our indifference. So our reading from Matthew today shows quite a bit this reality at work, the difference between being drawn in and being indifferent. So Jesus tells the parable about the farmer. He's going to go sow some seed. That just means plant, right, or cast it out or whatever the word sow means. He's trying to plant some seed, and he's throwing it out on all types of ground. And it lands on quite a few different things. So the first one is the hard-packed path. Ground which is too tough, and so the seed just sits on top. I do this all the time. I have chickens, right? So I throw out stuff to the chickens, and some of those are little seeds, but nothing happens because the chickens just come over and eat them because the ground is hard outside at the moment, right? Especially in the winter. They just pick it right off. The ground is hard. It never grows. So some lands on the rocky ground next. This is ground that looks pretty good, but right underneath the surface, it's rocky. So it starts to grow, but there's nothing underneath. It's actually still hard underneath, and so it can't grow. It has no roots, and eventually the sun comes and scorches it, and it dies. Some are thrown among the weeds, and they get choked out by all the stuff. The soil is actually good. The stuff's growing, right? But it's choked out by the weeds. And lastly, the good soil with roots that are deep, that produces fruit, that yields a harvest 30 or 60 or 100 times. I think Jesus, in this parable, is saying to us that each of these soils, and we might already know this, are really the condition of our hearts, the condition of our receptivity to the good news of God's kingdom. The news that as Jesus is sharing, even in that moment of his life and his death and his resurrection, when it's proclaimed and spoken and told, that the hearing of that, you remember when we read it, it said, Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, that the hearing of that is the casting of seed, and our heart is the soil. At the very moment Jesus is speaking this parable, he is casting seed to those who are willing to listen. And he's saying, you are all going to respond to the people he's speaking to differently to this. Some of your hearts will be hard, some will not. But he's proclaiming the good news. And this is not, shouldn't be a secret to us because this has continued. The church has continued from the time of Christ. We see the early church casting seed, continuing to proclaim the good news of the life and the love of Jesus Christ for us, of his death and resurrection and of his salvation. So he continues, the church continues. You continue on Sunday mornings as you've been here in the service singing songs, as you've encountered scripture throughout the week, as you've thought on the person of Christ throughout the week, seed is continuing to be thrown. So how is it landing in your life? How will you respond to it? Are you drawn into it? Or do you remain fairly indifferent? Because we're going to look a little bit closer at these four categories because how we respond makes all the difference, makes a huge difference. Being drawn in over being indifferent on this issue makes an eternal difference. Being drawn in versus being indifferent will save your life. Being drawn in versus being indifferent will determine your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Being drawn in versus being indifferent will determine the degree to which your relationship with God in this lifetime grows and matures. being drawn in versus being indifferent will affect the quality and direction of your life right here and right now. So in each case, as we look at these four categories for Jesus, the seed is sown in each of them. I think that's fascinating in the first place. Isn't it fascinating that God the Father is so extravagant in his love that he is willing to throw himself at whatever kind of ground is available? I find that fascinating. Why would God not just choose the soil that would actually receive him? He doesn't do that. He offers to all the ability to respond. That's just a side thing, but I find it fascinating. In each case, the seed is sown, and it lands on our heart. So let's look at the four ways we respond quickly. The path. The first one is the path. These are people who are basically just plain indifferent to Jesus and his kingdom. They could be summarized, maybe we could say they're people who are about my kingdom and there is no God. They feel like I did when I looked at that picture of kittens. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. It's for some people. But I don't really get anything out of it. They're indifferent. They might even be as far as hostile to it. But there's no way I really care about that or I'm getting into it. So when the good news of Jesus' love and forgiveness and his sacrifice for them comes and they hear it, nothing happens. They remain indifferent. The seed cannot penetrate the hardness of the heart. So they're just all out, indifferent. The second is the rocky soil. The rocky soil, these would be people who are initially drawn in. They hear the call of Christ. They hear the good news of his love and salvation for them. And they're initially drawn in. It's more like an emotional response, but there is no devotion. There is no commitment to Christ. Is it emotion over devotion? You could say it's my kingdom, but God helps me. I'm still really about what I want to be about, and this Jesus thing sure seems like a good little kick in the right direction to help me, but I'm not terribly interested in it, and I'm not letting it penetrate my heart. My heart remains hard. So just like the first category, really, the heart is hardened. It's just kind of under the surface. It could be said, really, that it is more like emotion than devotion. The thorns. Still about my kingdom, but now God's kingdom is a real close second. I'm real close to putting him first, but it's still really about me. Thorns are people who initially buy in. In fact, the soil's good, right? They're drawn in and the seed starts to grow. They start to follow, but the soil of the life is never really weeded. So the weeds eventually take all the sun and the nutrients, and the plant can never really grow or reproduce. In almost every city I've lived in fact, we even got one here at the church last summer, they have noxious weed control people, right? Have you ever gotten one of those letters at your house when you get like a weed that you're not supposed to have? We got one for some kind of thistle. Anyway, so you get this thing, and it says, kill this thing, or we will, because it'll take over your entire property, and then your neighbors, and then your neighbors, and then your neighbors, right? So that's essentially what's happening in the parable. It's saying the ground is good. There's nothing wrong with the ground. It's just infested with weeds. And so as the seed tries to grow, as God's word in your heart starts to try to grow, it's crowded out and it's cinched down by the weeds. The nutrients are taken, our attentions are taken, and we're distracted. People fall in the category of the thorn will always somewhat remain about their kingdom. A term maybe which we've come to use in the church recently for this kind of a thing is sort of a Christian consumer. I'll come to Christ, and I'll get excited about that, and I'll start to grow, but then after that, it's really all about what I need. After that, it's all about me. We become indifferent to things like serving or giving or reaching spiritually lost people or continuing to grow deeper in our knowledge of God. We sort of reach a level and we become indifferent because we're being crowded out by the weeds. And all of these, I think, the three, Jesus would say, that's not my design for you. My hope for you is that you become the good soil, which we might call the reproducing soil. You hear the word if you have ears to hear. Take it in and let it grow deep. And not only will it grow, it starts to produce a harvest, 30, 60, or 100-fold. It's the soil that is not indifferent at all. It's not hard-hearted. It's not rocky right below the surface. And the weeds have been removed. So it's growing and it's reproducing. This is something fascinating to me about this. We would often think, I think in church, that good soil would mean that I get to know Christ and I grow in him and I keep growing and I know more and I know more. But you see what Jesus' definition of mature is, that the plant matures? It matures because it's producing more seed. It's replicating itself. That's his definition of actually growing to maturity, of being good soil, that it's reproducing. That's an interesting definition, because it's not just about you anymore. It's about how are you advancing the kingdom of God? How are you working to let him work through you? So really, I see two kinds of soil and two illustrations of each. The path and the rocky soil really are hard. Their hearts are hardened. They won't receive the seed. One of them is right on the surface, and it's obvious. The other one looks kind of okay, but underneath it's still closed off to receiving what God has for it. With the thorns and the good soil, they're really both good soil. The roots could run deep in either, but the thorns have choked out the growth in one of them. It remains small and doesn't reproduce. So if you were really honest about your spiritual life and where you're at this moment with God, where would you put yourself? Honestly. You don't need to tell me right now, but where would you be? As you think about that, where is your heart? What is the condition of the soil of your heart? Is your heart still hard toward God? Have you not yet received Jesus and his offer for salvation? Is your ground still firm and unyielding? Spiritual breakthrough for you won't ever happen until the soil becomes ready to receive, till it's drawn into the good news of Christ. Maybe you're on the thorny ground. Maybe you have been drawn in and you're trying to follow Christ, but you've never really weeded out all the other stuff in your life that's keeping a stranglehold from you growing spiritually. So to break through spiritually, you're going to have to pull some weeds. Where are you, honestly? That's the question maybe for the entire week. Maybe it takes more than just 5 minutes right now to think about. Where are you at? The key to breakthrough is being drawn into the fact. I think this is the key. The key to breaking through in any of these levels or continuing in our faith is to realize that God is not indifferent toward you. While we have this back and forth of, am I being drawn into all God has for me and his love for me, God has never wavered in his lack of indifference for you. All of Jesus' life points to this. Jesus is the fullest expression that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. That God himself would come take on human flesh. That in the form of the Son he would die for the sin that you should rightfully have died for, that he might conquer sin and death and reunite us back with our Heavenly Father, that he would take upon himself all of those things so we might be in relationship with him. In fact, in one of the very first sermons we have recorded, this is essentially what Peter communicates. The first time the church is able to proclaim what it is they believe, they essentially say this: God loved you so much that he sent Christ. It's in Acts chapter 2. If you want to read it, it'll also be on the screen. Peter says this. He says, listen. Isn't that fascinating? He always, how often that happens in Scripture. If you have ears to hear, listen, pay attention. Are you getting this? Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God by many miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And then following that announcement by Peter of the love of God that had brought Christ to our planet for us, the response is overwhelming. In the next moments, people are drawn in by the love of God for them. This is the love of God for you. God did this for you. The love that reaches out to you, that wants to restore you and draw you into relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's the seed that is being scattered, even at this moment, on the soil of your heart. How do you respond? Will you be drawn in or will you be indifferent? You know, we're all at a loss. I don't know if you feel this way, but when someone says, how do you describe the way that God loves us or how much he cares for us, it's terribly difficult to even try. Because the love of God is so huge. It reminds me, okay, I'm a church nerd, so I grew up in the church. So it reminds me of some of these really old songs that I learned growing up, right? Well, one of them essentially used the analogy. It said, if I was going to try to explain to you how much God loved you, the song would say, I would fill the oceans with ink, right? And the entire sky could be parchment. And every single person on the planet could be someone who just writes night and day. And if we could do that, we would drain the ocean and there wouldn't be enough paper for us to write on. Because we can't explain the depth of divine love for us. to describe the size and breadth and depth is impossible. And if we start to understand that level of love and concern for us, we'll be drawn in. And that will lead to, wherever we're at, the next step of spiritual breakthrough. Maybe that's too abstract. So you can get glimpses of this kind of love in your life. Are there, if you think back and you think of times when sort of out of nowhere someone cared for you in a way you weren't expecting, sort of shocked you with their kindness, shocked you with their concern and care for you, and you had this moment where you went, I feel so good. That hits me somewhere really deep because they met this need to be loved. I'll give you an example. I don't ever watch this show, but I came across this a while back. Steve Harvey has a TV show, right? And someone called in one day on his birthday, a surprise caller, and he didn't really want a surprise caller, but he got one, and this was the interaction that happened on that day. And it's a moment maybe like yours in your life when you recall kindness or love having been shown to you. So check out this clip.
This one is a surprise. Okay, I said no surprises. Sorry. That's what you're saying to me, Alex? Sorry. Okay, this is a surprise calling in via satellite from Orlando. Let's see who it is.
Hi, Steve. This is Rich List from Orlando, Florida, and I called you to wish you a happy birthday and ask you one question. Do you still love me, baby? I'm waiting for my answer, buddy.
Hey, man. I love you, man.
I love you too, man. Yeah. You want to say hi to your girlfriend?
Who, Becky there?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Say hi.
Hey, Becky.
Hi, Steve.
Jesus.
We love you, buddy.
These people.
We wish you the best happy birthday.
I was 26 years old, man. I was struggling. Mm-hmm. I didn't have nothing. And these people owned the furniture store in Cleveland. And they took me in and gave me my first contract with my little carpet cleaning company. When I became a comedian at 27, I didn't have money to travel. They gave me an account at their travel agency. And man, I ran up a bill like $11,000 just trying to travel and make it. Them people right there. You know, man, they helped me out. Hey man, I got money now, Rich.
You got money?
Matter of fact, hey, Rich, I'm going to send a plane to pick up you and Becky. I'm going to fly y'all to Chicago for the show. I've been looking for you for years, man.
You found me, baby. All right.
Have a great birthday, Steve.
Have a great birthday.
Thank you. I want to say, hey, man.
What?
You bailed me, man. I never forgot it. Thank you, man.
Okay. We love you.
We love you, Steve.
I love y'all too, man. All right, I didn't need
you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Bye. So I'm trying to watch that and be all like manly, right? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. If you could take that moment and magnify it to infinity, that's the love your Heavenly Father has for you. That He bailed you. It's a good word he used. There was a debt that can never be repaid. And so sometimes you'll see people, sometimes it happens to me and I try not to do it because I'm supposed to lead the singing, but sometimes I'm in the middle of singing. And sometimes you are too, and you come across the line and it says, you know, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And something deep in there, right? Just like Steve says, I'm drawn into that. I'm drawn into that. Are you drawn in? Are you indifferent? Each of those soils is just a different version of that. And for those of us who maybe have felt like we've been good soil for a while, there'll come moments in life when we once again have to learn to be drawn in. God will be calling us to something else. God will be speaking something new. And in that moment, we have to decide, will I be indifferent to this? God, you're calling me out on something. You're leading me to something. Am I just going to be indifferent, or am I going to be drawn in further? All of your life is a process of being drawn in more and more and more to the love of your Heavenly Father. No matter where you're at, the answer to breakthrough spiritually is to continue to be drawn in to the person of Christ, not to be indifferent, not to dismiss it, but to grow deeper in your understanding and your thankfulness for the love of your Heavenly Father. Are you the first two? You need to soften the soil of your heart. You need to receive the love of your Heavenly Father. Are you the thorny ground? You need to stop being indifferent to those weeds. There's got to come a day when you start pulling them out. They're holding you back from spiritually breaking through. Are you the good soil right now? Are you reproducing? Continue to be drawn in, because there'll be moments as you walk that path when you can be indifferent again. Keep lifting up the love of your Father. Keep seeking and growing to know Him. That's my prayer for you, and I think it's the way we break through spiritually. Will you bow your heads with me? I don't know how this message would hit you. I don't know where you're at. Totally, I know some of you, I know your stories, but where you're at right now in your soul with your soil, some of you might need to take the first step of not being hard soil anymore. And maybe this is that moment when you say, yes, God, I need Jesus. I know I've messed life up. I know that I've sinned, but this is the moment when I come to you realizing that your love for me is so deep and so great that you paid everything that I might have relationship with you. That's a commitment for you that you've never made, but God is speaking to your heart about that. And you don't want to remain indifferent. I want to pray with you. I'd love to talk to you about it. And with everybody not looking around, so I'm the only one that'll know, I just want you to put your hand up and say, that's me. That's where I'm at. Thanks. Maybe for you, you find yourself in that third category. You say, yeah, you know, I've been walking with God, but there's a lot of weeds in my life. And I've kind of just stayed indifferent to Him. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something different. I'm going to ask you either right now or when we're done today to take that card that's in front of you, and on the prayer request side, I want you to write down what those weeds are. Because I'm going to be praying for you that this is a season for you to be drawn in and to stop being indifferent about them. So maybe you don't do it at this moment, but I want to be praying for you. And someone needs to be along that journey with you as you pull the weeds. So I'm going to encourage you to write that down as we close service and just hand it to me or put it in my office. Father, this morning we are reminded by this story that you are a God whose love is extravagant. God, the sower didn't just walk around to certain places and drop seed. He scattered love everywhere. And you sent your Son as a sacrifice for us that we could be drawn in, that we could know you, that we could be in relationship with you. And we're humbled by that. God, that you would love us that much, that when we had turned our backs on you, you came for us. Will you help us to move from places of indifference to being drawn into that? Maybe even being inspired to continue, inspired to know you more, to understand you better, to live more like you, to surrender to you more? Will you help us to pull weeds that we might produce fruit? And God, we pray that we might replicate, that we might reproduce as the good soil does, that we would continue to be ambassadors of your kingdom and we would see it advance and move forward, because that's what you call us to do. That's what you did. Father, we love you. We can't do any of this without you. Draw us into your love and your goodness and your hope, we pray.